Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Here's a question for you. What is a Christian? Now, if you ask that question to the average person on the street, I reckon you'll get a variety of responses. In fact, I think that even if you ask that question of a bunch of churchgoers, you could well get a variety of different answers as well. You know, for the last few weeks, we've been walking through this popular Christianity Explained course with author Michael Bennett. We're going to throw that question to him. Michael, welcome back.
Good to be here.
The past few weeks, we have focused on the life, the message, the mission of Jesus, his miracles, his authority, his sacrificial death for us, his resurrection back to life. Tonight, I guess we're turning the focus back to ourselves, aren't we? And asking this question, what is a Christian? So when you ask that question to people, what kind of the responses do you get typically?
Well, I suppose people say the obvious things like someone who goes to church.
That's a big one, isn't it?
Big one, yeah. Yep. Some people might say, well, we live in a nominally Christian country, so aren't we all Christians? Some people might say, oh, do-gooders. People who, you know.
Gorgeous phrase, do-gooders.
Yes, that's right. Or people who pray and read the Bible, something like that.
Okay. What would you say, or how would you say that Jesus defines the answer to that question?
I would go back to the very first words that Jesus ever uttered from the time that he began his public ministry. I mean, that was at the age of 30, so he obviously uttered a lot of words before that. But the very first words we have recorded in Mark's Gospel says, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching, etc., and said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Therefore, repent and believe the gospel. If I had to say in one sentence what is a Christian, I would say a Christian is someone who belongs to this thing called the kingdom of God.
Which naturally leads to another question. What is the kingdom of God?
Well, I'm going to say you can't really draw an analogy with the King of England or the Queen of England, can you? Of course, they really have no authority. You know? But you belong to the kingdom of God when Jesus becomes your king. Or put it other ways, when he becomes number one in your life, when he becomes the boss.
Director.
Or the director, yeah. Or to use the Bible language, when you call him Lord and mean it.
So that's what a Christian is, a member of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, I guess the kingdom of God itself needs to be explored though too, doesn't it?
Well, the kingdom of God is not a geographical kingdom, like you might say the kingdom of Great Britain or England, or, you know, which is a piece of geography defined by borders, okay? The kingdom of God is really a collection of people, not only living people today, but people going back...
Millennia,
yeah, at least 2,000-4,000 years, going right back to someone like Abraham, who agreed that God would be the boss of his life. So I like to think of it in that way. It's a group of people who genuinely, and I stress genuinely, have said to Jesus, yes, you be the boss.
Yes.
And I'll follow.
So you're joining a new community.
Yeah.
So last week we explored how eternal life, and that's abundant life, that's both beginning now but also culminates, I guess, in heaven. It's offered to us by Jesus as a free gift. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't do enough good deeds to somehow merit it or earn it. It's a gift to be received. But that raises the question, how do we receive it?
Well, let me go back to that Jesus' first words again. The kingdom of God is at hand, therefore repent and believe. So to belong to the kingdom of God, Jesus says there's two things to do, repent and believe. Which, of course, raises the question, what does repent mean? Mm. Yeah, it's a churchy sort of word, isn't it? Whenever I think of cartoons of men in black carrying signs, repent, the end of the world,
the world is
at
near,
hand.
Yes.
You know, that sort of thing.
The end is nigh.
Yeah, that's right. In the original language of the Bible, the word repent just means to change your mind, to have a radical change of mind and attitude towards something. Now, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard that in the French army, that when you say to the troops, about turn, that the word they use is actually repent.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know. I've heard that.
Yeah.
A nice story if it's true. But you've been going your own way, and we're all going our own way, with myself as the centre of my world. And when I repent, I agree with God and I turn around and I say, I'm not going to do that anymore.
So is it feeling sorry, or is it something more than that, do you think?
Sorrow may be a part of it, but it's much more than just feeling sorry. Because a person can feel sorry for the past without repenting. We call that remorse. Mm. I mean, all of us feel sorry for things that have happened. You know, we don't necessarily do anything about it. But repentance is an act of the will, essentially, not so much an act of the emotions. Now, quite often the two go together. When someone, in my own case, when I turned to God and accepted Christ, yes, I began to realise things I had done which hadn't worried me. I realise now they were bad things, you know?
Mm.
And therefore, I felt sorry for that, okay? And I know Jesus has forgiven me. But repentance is an act of the will.
Mm. Okay. So repent means to turn around, to change our mind. If you were to bring it down to simply, what do you think it's changing our mind about? Just to clarify it.
If I can use an illustration, I once saw on a TV an astronaut in space. And what they did was they took him out of his flying gear and they floated him in space. So it was just in singlets and short. And they put him, he was exactly a metre from the wall of the space vehicle. They measured it, okay? At rest. And they said to him, now, we want you to move yourself to the wall of the space vehicle. Well, because he was free in space, of course, he could kick, he could twist, he could do somersaults. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing was, every time he stopped and he held out his hand, he was exactly a metre from the wall of the space vehicle. The commentator said that we all have this thing called a centre of gravity, a physical centre of gravity. And he said, because there's no gravity in space, all this man could do was to spin around his centre of gravity. He could not move it. And he said, if we leave him there, he'd die of starvation. Somebody eventually had to put out his hand and pull him to safety, okay? Now, in a sense, a bit of an analogy with the Christian faith, because although we make all sorts of free will decisions every day, you know, what to wear, who to marry, what to have for dinner, etc., the Bible says in relationship to God, we're not free. We are, in fact, the Bible says, in bondage to ourselves, our own spiritual centre of gravity through selfishness and self-centeredness and all those sort of things. And if we stay like that, the Bible says we'll die. We need someone from outside ourselves to hold out his hands, and we need to take that hand. Okay, sort of that brings in not only the repentance but the idea of faith and trust, putting your trust in that person as well.
Yes.
I was just thinking this morning, because I came here by train. See, all the time we're exercising faith. I got in this train that somebody has built, and up the front there's a bloke driving it who I have no idea who he is, you know. And so I put my life, by faith, into the hands of that train and that bloke driving it, you know. And we do this all the time. Now, sometimes that faith is misplaced. Sometimes trains crash. The thing with Jesus is that I think believing means we entrust our life into the hand of Jesus. I give my life into his hands. I know it will always be for the best. I'm not saying we won't have sorrow and pain. That'd be wrong to say that. But it will always be for my best because he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the faith element comes in.
Yes.
It's more than just intellectual assent. It's actually you hand your life over and the direction of your life over to another person.
Yes. Yeah. A dramatic thing, really. You're giving your whole life over to this person, which means you need to know him. You can trust him.
Yeah. It's the most radical thing you can do. People think Christians are conservative. I think they're the most radical people on this earth.
Right. Mm. We are walking through the Christianity Explained course with author and pastor Michael Bennett. The openhouse.net.au has the podcast. So becoming a Christian, it's being a member of the kingdom of God. It's entering that kingdom, that new community that God is building, which is quite an exciting concept if you actually think about it, this new group of people throughout the millennium of history who are actually going to share his presence and his very life forevermore.
Yep.
And we get in there by repenting, turning around from our own lives, facing God, and then believing in what Jesus has done for us. Michael, this is going to sound really crude, but if I was to ask you, what do you think are the benefits to becoming a Christian? Why should somebody even consider it?
There are a number of benefits. I mean, we've spoken about one already, and that is the forgiveness of sins.
Mm.
So when I come to Christ, the amazing thing is, even if I'm Adolf Hitler, the slate is wiped clean, and God will never write on that slate again. I think of the day of judgment, you know, when God says to the angel, go off and get the Michael Bennett file, and he comes back with it on a forklift truck, you know, and the devil says, hang on, these are all blank pages. I say, that's right. That's what's happened through Christ. We are in God's good books forever. So that's it. I want that. The second thing we receive is something called the Holy Spirit. What the Bible says is that when you come to Christ, God comes actually to live within you, in your heart and mind, and he begins to change us from the inside out. Because I don't know about you, I can't change myself. Hmm. I'm a creature of habit, and you know, I've got certain quirky things about my personality that are locked in, and I just can't change them. But God can, by his Spirit. And you know, there may be some people who are saying, I'd like to be different from the person I am. You can be. Mm-hmm. It's Christ living within us spiritually. And the other great benefit is, as we've been discussing before, what happens when you die? Man's greatest unsolved question. You know, someone once wrote a little poem, death itself is nothing, but this is what we fear. To be, we know not what, we know not where.
Mm.
See, that's the great fear, isn't it?
Absolutely.
What happens?
What am I going to be and where am I going to be?
Yeah, is there anywhere? Now, for that, the Bible is an answer. And the answer is, we will be real people living in a real creation, but set free from all the things that make our life painful now. Sin, wars, sickness, marriage breakups, you know.
He'll wipe every tear from the eye.
That's right. That's a great thing. It's not just pie in the sky when you die. It's a change of life now, a new relationship with God, but with an eternal consequence.
Mm. So, Michael, there'll be people that have been listening to us over the last few weeks and hearing about Jesus and hearing about what he's done for us, and they're probably at that point of saying, well, maybe I can make that step, repenting, turning around from my life, facing God, believing in what he's actually done. From this point on, tangibly, though, how do you encourage people to take that step?
Well, I would encourage them to do it straight away. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Many people have found it useful to say a prayer to God as a way of saying yes to God. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do want to do that. I realize that I've been leaving you out of my life. I do want to come back.
Mm. Why don't you lead us in a prayer like that? Because there might be some people who say, I'm not too sure what the words are to use, but I know that I want to do something. Why don't you lead us in a prayer like that that people can join in on?
Okay, I'll do that. What I'll do is I'll just pray and I'll leave a little gap between each phrase so that people can maybe just repeat those words themselves, okay? Dear God, I want to admit and acknowledge that I have left you out of my life. I acknowledge that I have enjoyed the good things you have given, the food, the rain, relationships, and all the others. And yet I've not thanked you, and I've left you out of my life. God, I want to come back to you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for what I've heard about how he died on the cross for my sins, and also how he came back to life, guaranteeing that I will come back to life one day. So, Father, now I want to come to you. I want to put my life into the hands of the Lord Jesus. I want to be part of his kingdom now, in this life, in these days, and also in the future, in eternal heaven. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you help me? Give me your Spirit so that I might be able to love Jesus, serve him, and live my life to please him and you forever. God, thank you for these things. Now I come to you, asking you to come into my life and to give me this new life we've been talking about. And I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen indeed. And if that's actually been prayed by somebody who's sincerely wanting that, the Bible actually says the angels start rejoicing, don't they? They start clapping and cheering and it's a bit of a party happening in heaven.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a great thing.
Can I encourage you, listening, if you've actually made that prayer yourself, I would love to hear from you. There's a couple of ways. You can make contact with Michael directly through his website. And you can get his phone number from the website, ChristianityExplained.com. Okay, ChristianityExplained.com. Otherwise, I'd love to hear from you now. You can give me a call. All right, Michael, well, I guess if somebody actually prays that prayer, it's the beginning of a whole new life because they've joined a new community, this kingdom that we were talking about. Mm. So there's a few other things that I guess start to work out. We'll explore that next week, which will be our final session together. This has been very good. We'll catch you in a week's time.
Terrific.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.